Good morning. I will, as usual, discuss a little bit about the financials and how the audit went, and then I will go into the auditor's comments concerning any noted weaknesses and internal controls across the network. We noted no matters involving internal control and its operations that we consider to be material weaknesses defined by generally accepted auditing standards. We did, however, note certain matters involving internal control that are presented in the attachment to this letter. There's a letter to the board that is being distributed, I believe, now, where you'll have a copy of our comments in detail. In the same format that we did last year, there's general comments, which generally relate to all of the divisions, and then we made some specific comments on specific stations or specific divisions. But as sort of an overview, first of all, first I'll talk about the financials very briefly. Lonnie, the CFO, will get into more detail on the finances of the organization, what that means for the future, et cetera. But just as a general note, the listener revenue was down about $100,000. Total revenue was down about $350,000. However, $250,000 of that $350,000 was a one-time write-off the year before, which were old legal bills that were in dispute and no longer collectible. And that was a one-time effect to revenue positively. We don't have that this year. So practically speaking, the revenue was really very, very consistent from last year to this year. The working capital also remained approximately the same. There's about $3 million in working capital for both years, which is a healthy sign. When we first came in as the auditors, that was the major crisis with the network, was a lack of working capital. And that has been stable and has been corrected, so that's very good. Now I'm just going to go on into the audit comments. Generally, there has been a general improvement across the network in auditing policies and procedures and the implementation of that. The last year, my major comment was that the organization needed a policies and procedures manual that had been revised, analyzed, agreed to across at the committee level and implemented across the network. I know there's been a lot of work on that. The audit committee has been involved. They've, I believe, been recommending a revised version of the manual. I believe the finance committee has also been involved in that. And although we did not have a board-approved policies and procedures manual during the course of the past year, we still need that. But the process has led to a lot more consistency, a lot more attention on accounting policies and procedures, and we noticed that in this audit. There's been a lot of improvement generally, with the exception of WBAI, which I will get to shortly. Also, I had a detailed conversation with the audit committee and its conference call on January the 7th, and the committee members were very pertinent in their questions. We had a rational, relevant, very constructive dialogue about accounting principles and procedures. And really, for the first time that I've been involved as the auditor for committee, there's been some people, some folks I can talk to here that are keenly interested and knowledgeable and focused on accounting. So, issues. And that's a very healthy sign. So let me go on into our comments. So I believe someone is now handing out the written version. Thanks, Ben. General comments. Last year we commented all expenses should be properly coded by department. This procedure has generally been implemented across the board, except at BAI. Bank statements should be delivered unopened directly to management, either the general manager or a national officer at the national division. This procedure is in place at national, and most of the stations have begun implementation. Separate bank accounts should be established for restricted funds. Again, this is being recently implemented. I believe as of October, that's pretty much the case across the board. All mail should be opened in the presence of two employees, and a tally of checks received made to be later reconciled to both the general ledger and the MIMSIS database. This is a repeat comment, and I believe PNB action may be necessary to accomplish this. It is important you have two people involved in the mail opening process across the board. A consistent dual signature policy should be established. Again, we're not really commenting on what that policy should be. It's just that it should be consistent and adhered to. And it might be the case in certain stations, for example, at KPFT, that it's impractical to always have two signatures on a check. I'm not saying you have to have that. As long as you have two authorizations involved in the transactions, one from the accounting side, one from the executive or administrative side, then you've got a good control there. It doesn't have to be always done on the check. It can be done with check requisitions, which we'll get to in a moment. Generally, proper signing procedures are now in place across the network. The MIMSIS and general ledger reports of listener support should be reconciled on a monthly basis. This is a repeat comment, still needs to be done. Perpetual inventory records of premiums should be kept and reconciled to MIMSIS reports monthly. It's a repeat comment, may require board action. Physical inventories of premiums should be taken on September 30th of each year and reconciled to MIMSIS reports. It's a repeat comment, may require board action. A comprehensive physical inventory of all equipment should be taken on September 30th of each year, reconciled to the fixed asset schedules and to the general ledger. You can use a barcoding or ID tag system for that inventory. Some progress has been made, but I think it may require board action there too. Copies of correspondence regarding donated securities should be promptly sent to the National Finance Office in order to properly record donated securities in a timely manner. Generally, this procedure has now been implemented, and this is a big area of progress. All credit card chargebacks should be reviewed and improved by the business manager. Generally, that's been implemented. On to the specific comments, WBAI. The bank reconciliations are done. All of these comments have been resolved or corrected. Otherwise, we don't issue a clean audit report. So please don't walk away with the impression that these are problems that are lingering, unresolved problems. But these are deficiencies in internal controls that, unless they're corrected on an ongoing local basis, they continue to become usually get resolved by the national office. So, for example, with WBAI, for the 5 years I've been involved, they have never done their own bank reconciliations. They will make an attempt at bank reconciliations, and then the national office will get involved and rework them and get them done at the national level. So they do get done, but basically they're being done by the national office. There are inadequate safeguards on premium inventory. Also, there's sort of a general condition there we just noted of overstocking, a lot of obsolete items in inventory, items which were ordered beyond what was needed at the time. There was a Chase investment account established without authorization of an officer. The account was opened with only one signer, which was the business manager, and this has subsequently been corrected by the CFO and the station manager. That was a serious sort of breach in internal controls at that station.
Let him give his report.
Let me finish, and then I'll be glad to entertain questions.
Thank you.
Let's see. Inadequate documentation controls over the receipt of restricted contributions and funds received during the year. An unrestricted bequest was received and deposited separately into that new Chase investment account to establish a building fund in error. This was only discovered by the national office upon requesting additional documentation directly from the attorney of that estate. It turned out to be unrestricted. About 50% of the transactions initially recorded incorrectly at the station level at WBAI have been end up being corrected by national office. This is usually done before we come in to do the audit, but I want to point out to the board that, you know, the books look fine for WBAI now, but to get to that point required a lot of work at the national level. Inadequate separation of payroll functions and that the business manager signs off on both the employee timesheets and payroll transmittal sheets. Again, the payroll officer at the national office gets involved in the payroll there and corrects anything that's not approved or not incorrect, but it's not presented properly to the national office. Employee timesheet and payroll transmittal sheets were submitted without supervisor signature, and check request forms were submitted without approval signatures. That's it for WBAI. KPFT check request authorization form should be used and properly completed for all disbursements. That was a repeat comment from last year. This year, 3 out of 10 tested transactions had check request forms attached, but none of them had approved signatures on them. Sometimes they'll use a pre-printed name next to the signature section, but you still need to have that initialed. Just having it on the form is not good enough. That was it for KPFT. There's been some improvement there, but it is a repeat comment. WPFW check request authorization form should be used and properly completed for all disbursements. And, again, they were using the check request forms pretty consistently at WPFW, but they weren't initialed by the business manager. So the comments are fairly minor across the network aside from WBAI and some of the general comments, which may require some board action to really fully implement in terms of physical inventories. Now I'm open for questions.
Okay, Jerry.
And I apologize, I was outside for the beginning of the report. So I will look at it. I have two questions about the comments that you made about WBAI to begin with. For how long a period of time was the unauthorized account open and how much money resided within that account? And you also said that there had been corrections for the other variations from procedures at BAI. Within what period of time of the violations did those corrections occur?
The Chase account was open during the year. I don't remember exactly which month it was. Perhaps, Lonnie, you can speak to that.
It was between April.
April?
Yes.
And it was, there was a memo, and then you got involved and discovered, and it was within a matter of a few months, I think you got involved with that.
Yeah, the funds, we identified the funds when they arrived and where they were. It was a question of whether they were properly classified as capital or for building only. And it was difficult to get backup documentation to show that they were indeed for the building. When we talked directly to the donor sent us a letter basically verifying that the funds were unrestricted funds and not had been intended for a capital fund. And the amount was $69,000.
And those funds are, most of those funds are still in that account. They've just been reclassified on the books between from restricted funds to unrestricted funds. There was no unaccounted for funds.
Okay, and
I'm not sure. Was that 169 or
69? 169,000.
Yeah.
So, is it my understanding that a donor made a contribution to WBAI in the amount of $160,000 and it was put into the account. It was put into an account for the station, but not held in the name of the station, but held in the name of an individual? I'm not...
No.
Okay, so how...
It was held in the name of a station and in care... There was an individual name on the account that shouldn't have been there. It was held in the name of the station, But there was no officer that authorized the creation of that account. National was not originally aware that that account existed. There was a memo disclosing the account to National, but there was information in the memo that was not accurate regarding restricted funds, and it needed to be that account had to be reauthorized properly and the funds reclassified properly.
And then the second part of my question was how long a period of time elapsed for the other violations, how long a period of time before whatever the violations that existed were corrected?
When you say other violations, you're referring to all of the other specific comments? Well, I wouldn't refer
to WBAI right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't refer to all of the comments necessarily as really violations. But in terms of weaknesses of internal controls, like I said, anything that affects the accuracy of the books was corrected by the National Office on a fairly timely basis. And that was better this year than in the past, where there's been steady improvement mainly by the National Office, so that when we come in to do our audit, things are really in good shape now, right in the middle of October. That used to not always be the case. It used to, when I first got involved here, it was 9 months to a year before the books were up to date. Now they're up to date on a very timely basis. Within about 30 days, the bank accounts are reconciled. Things are properly recorded on the books. That is a major accomplishment, and I do want to highlight that. But to answer your question, the specific comments on WBAI, I don't believe they're still doing the bank reconciliation, so that has not been corrected. The safeguards on premium inventory, I think they may have put in some safeguards recently on that now.
But you don't know if they have. You think, but you don't know, right? You're not.
I know that someone was recently hired to do that. This was after the end of the audit, so I don't have an up-to-date report on that. Like I said, the Chase investment account, Lonnie got involved and has straightened that out. And that was done in October. inadequate documentation controls over the receipt of restricted funds, we've gone through it. We've gotten the documentation. We've corrected it. I don't know, as an ongoing procedure, if it's – I know there's a lot of attention on it right now. I don't know what's being done currently. The recording of the transactions, they're being done properly at National. I don't know that they're being done properly yet at the station level. The payroll functions, the separation of responsibilities there and the proper documentation of it, I don't know that that's being done properly yet at the station level. Like I said, it's being monitored by National. And the check request without approved signatures, again, I don't know that that's being done properly now at the station level. So there's still a lot of work being done by National to correct the problems at that station.
Okay. I just want to put a footnote that I'm concerned about those practices, and I'm hoping that we can get a report from the station to outside the scope of his knowledge about whether or not those corrections have been adopted and are in place now.
Okay, Bob.
I actually want to follow up on that last point. Perhaps Lonnie could answer whether the variety of weaknesses that Mr. Wisdom just set forth have been corrected at WBAI. He said he wasn't sure about some of them. Maybe you could just repeat which ones you weren't sure where they stand at the moment.
I don't know that the bank reconciliations are being done correctly by the station. I don't know that they're using and initialing all of the check request forms currently. I believe they put in some safeguards on the inventory. Correct. I don't know that they've implemented a perpetual inventory system.
Not at this time. No, not on the perpetual inventory.
Right. I don't know that they're reconciling to MIMSIS on a monthly basis.
Partially, but not entirely.
Mm-hmm. I believe the transactions being recorded properly by department is probably being done now, right?
Yes, that's correct. Right. They've done that.
Okay.
The issue with the deposit into the restricted account, We reclassified those funds and away from a restricted account meant for building and capital only into the operating account where the donor had originally intended it.
Mm.
So in a sense, that provides some funds that were not previously available to the station, the good news and the bad news. But remember, that was an investment account, and those funds have grown from their initial deposit amount of 160 to the 170. However, with the stock market, that may have changed. That will change daily. So that would be a quick update on most of the stuff. The comment I would make, yes, there's work to be done at WBAI. And I do believe that on the finance side, there are changes that need to be made. They moved, but not enough. And we need to take them to the point where they're doing the accounts correctly, accurate, and timely. And that is a priority for us this year.
Okay. Carolyn?
Yeah, I have some questions about procedure, which you may not know. We had first heard, it may be the same account, it may not, that a large donation was made for a building fund. And subsequently we heard that the money had been reclassified to the general fund. But the reports that we got seemed quite credible, that it was intended for a building fund, and that the donor was then persuaded or asked, because of our need to reclassify the funds. The reports were very hard to track, and I'm concerned about the role of the local station board in oversight. And I'm not sure at this point that we're even in the loop, because some of the things you mentioned we've identified, but we've never gotten reports on the status of these, either from a treasurer or the business manager or the general manager. And it's as if the local board, which really has oversight, knows nothing about some of these things. So I'm concerned about the chain of information, communication, if not command, and where in the loop we can be of assistance to make sure these things are either brought to our attention or addressed, and the board, at least in looking at a budget, can say this, this, and this is still in need of remediation, or this is doing well, and so on. Do you have any recommendations? And my second question has to do with the MEMSIS system. I have heard for years about how terrible it is, that it has no history function, that in fact you cannot track illegal entries and exits and changes and so on. And is it your opinion that this can be either upgraded or that it needs to be changed in order to make it possible to create a some oversight of the whole problem?
Okay, let me start with your first question on the local board being involved and aware of the specifically restricted grants and the financial activities of the station. There are a lot of resources available to the LSB through the local station's accounting department, the business manager, the finance committee, and the audit committee, so that you should be requesting and getting timely reports on a monthly basis. You should be asking if those reports are reconciled. You should be inquiring as to any details, especially about grants. And you could specifically ask the station to give you, to keep you up to date on any grant activity, restricted or unrestricted, coming, that's been, grants that have been promised or pledged that haven't come in, and of course as they come in they'll be on the books and should be on those reports that you're getting. If there is a problem at the station level, then you have recourse to the finance committee or national office or the audit committee or ultimately to the PNB to get what you need. So I do strongly recommend that each division and at national, that that someone take the time to request and go through these reports. We're doing this on an annual basis right here now, and I know the finance committee meets fairly frequently and goes through some of these reports and asks these questions. The audit committee is now seems to be up to speed, and they're asking pertinent questions concerning accounting issues. If you do this on at least a quarterly, and it really needs to be a monthly basis, I think you'll have much less trouble with things that are not being done properly to begin with, or surprises at the end of the year, and that sort of thing.
Okay, a follow-up, if I may.
Right.
There was a period of time when the staff was sort of flat out refusing to sign timesheets. There were no timesheets and so on. And we had heard about that, and yet payroll checks were being issued. Now, at what point in the system, in that process, do you get involved, and where should there be intervention, and when does that come to you? At the end when it's too late, or you know, what is the process for seeing to it that those things are done?
Well, there should be no reason why there can't be two initials or signatures on the payroll records that are going in to the national office to be reviewed and ultimately for payment. At the station level, there need to be two initials on that, so that you know that the person in charge of the of those employees is agreeing to this payroll, and the business department is also agreeing to that payroll. There's no reason why that function should not be done. If it's not being done, it goes to the performance of the individuals involved and that, to their review. The second question I want to get to, which is about MIMSIS. MIMSIS is not an accounting system. When I say reconcile to MIMSIS, I don't really mean reconcile MIMSIS. MIMSIS is unreconcilable. It's a very old database. But its purpose is to provide a database for donors and for fundraising, so that when someone makes a pledge, you can track that and you can see their history, et cetera. And it is very useful that way. It probably does need to be upgraded, and I would recommend that. But when I say reconcile to MIMSIS, we like independent sources of information to compare to the books. So at MIMSIS, you can look at the amount of revenues that were recorded as being paid in a certain period of time, and then look at the books and see what came in terms of revenue for the books. You're going to have a little timing difference. Some of the stations are very good about reconciling that, KPFA especially, so that there may be a few timing differences or maybe a few little problems with MIMSIS, so it doesn't exactly agree to the books, but it's pretty close. And that's really what I mean by reconciling to the books. And that way you'll also discover if there's any problems with credit card processing or something that wasn't recorded properly. It's a good check. It's just a independent check on the books is why I'm recommending it.
Okay. We're at time for this item, and I know Mike Martin has his hand up and Lisa Davis has her hand up. I'd entertain a motion to extend time by 5 minutes.
Second.
Okay.
Second.
Is there any opposition? Hearing none, time's extended by 5 minutes. Mike.
Ross, I'd like to know your reaction to my reaction to your audit report, because I look at this audit report, I think it's damning. I think it's extremely critical. You've got 7 items on here where you've recommended board action as a repeat item, or suggested board action as a repeat item. I've sat on nonprofits for 20 years. I sat on the House Appropriations Committee in Texas, and this is the stage level of the report where you realize that you may have a fire burning if you don't do something now. That's my reaction to it. Am I overreacting?
Where were you 5 years ago?
Oh, I wasn't on the board 5 years ago. But,
it was much worse.
Well,
there's been a lot of progress. It doesn't mean that these
and
aren't serious issues.
Let me point
issues,
out, I don't see that the problem lies with national. And
right.
I think Lonnie has actually been the governor of keeping it on track. So, I mean, I want to qualify this by saying, well, I think Lonnie's been doing a good job. So. But
well, that was pretty much my point, that by the time we get to do our audit, the problems have been corrected by the national office. It doesn't mean that you don't have an internal control weakness at the station level.
Doesn't need to get there. We need to have systems and procedures in place at the local level so that we don't have to put the burden on Lonnie, number one, but it just there's too much room for – we don't want to wait till the misappropriations occur, right?
Right.
I mean, these are all systemic – observations. These are all policy observations that you're making here of changes in policies and procedures that need to be made. And my suggestion is that this be a priority at National Finance to get done.
Well, I think there's been a lot of good work in terms of developing the policies and procedures, and a lot of them are being followed. The problem has been that there hasn't been implementation earlier, and I think we're now getting to a much better level of implementation just very recently, like in October, with the exception of the one station, WBI. Lonnie?
Well, I just want to point out that in your board packs is a 30-page pilot for financial policies and procedures manual. And, you know, Ross had mentioned it last year as something he'd like to see us adopt, and it directly deals with those station-level issues. So my fond hope is the board would approve or officially endorse the use of those policies that were generated by station-level folks, business managers, general managers, national office. So I think that is one of the first steps. And then have those policies be fully distributed at the station level with the local LSB so they can see what procedures should be used. I think that's a very useful tool, a year in the making, and it is in your board packs. So I would really strongly, it would really help if the board could approve those policies and procedures, at least informally, and strongly endorse their use at the local station level.
Okay, I'm going to call on Lisa Davis now.
I just want to make a few brief comments, and good morning, Ross. I've known him somewhat with the audit committee, and my person sitting next to me, Nia Bediako, the chair. But I just want to say, because some of the comments that have been raised, I'll just, you know, draw attention to this even more, also speaks for the need in terms of, I guess, the relationship between the LSB and the staff to be a little more clearly defined, and also in terms of procedures and processes, because you will hear so much information, and a lot of times it might be misinformation. So how the local station board should respond and be very careful in making sure that they have accurate information before things get reported out, I think that would just be helpful. This is not necessarily something directly pertaining to the, you know, your oversight as the auditor, but I think it's very important because a lot of times things get reported out as facts about this going on and that going on and people not really having the correct information. I think there really needs to be some more attention paid to this kind of process, and also if there are concerns that LSB members do have, again, a process for reporting things, and also I guess to maybe a little bit better define how the staff in the LSB interact with each other. I think that's crucial. I just remember one incident about an invoice pertaining to a mailer or whatever, and the information was incorrect but easily verifiable, but it wasn't. So I just think that just speaks for more of a well-defined process and operating procedures.
Okay, Bob, you had a comment?
Yeah, just briefly, I want to follow up on Mr. Wisdom's advice to the LSB about seeking the information it needs to do the kind of oversight that clearly is very much needed at WBAI, requesting getting timely reports on a monthly basis, asking for details on grants, and so on. These are actually, I'm on the finance committee at the local board. We've repeatedly made many such requests and many others to do our oversight role, and we've been repeatedly stymied by the business manager and the interim general manager who have not responded or have done so in a very slow manner. So I guess I'm asking for, and our committee is kind of frustrated at this point and maybe seeking some intervention from the national office to ask the local station personnel to cooperate with us in doing our oversight role in giving us the information we need. I don't know if Lonnie, maybe, I don't know if you heard my comment, but if there's anything you want to say about how this can be done to get the LSB the information it needs for financial oversight from the business manager and the interim general manager.
Yes, I know.
Well, you know, it's an issue that we in the New Pacifica, three years trying the new democratic experiment. What you have, though, is a lot of local autonomy, a lot of local control, to answer your question specifically. I think that the LSBs have to take the new financial controls document, the financial policies and procedures manual, sit down with your general manager and your business manager, identify the reports and the information they're going to be getting on a regular and routine basis. If there is a difficulty, I certainly will step in and back that up or insist on it. I think the first step is to have written protocols and procedures, which is in your board packet, to pass those this board meeting, and then have that be the document used.
Okay. I'd like to thank our auditor, Ross Wisdom, for his report, for coming here. We really need to move on to the BAI focus station item. Was there any last comment you wanted to add to this?
Well, just one final comment, really, in response to Mike's comments from KPFT. When I say board action, I really am referring, like Lonnie said, to a board-approved policy and procedures manual, and then follow-up board action through committees and through national, the audit committee, the finance committee, and the national office, to follow through on the implementation of that manual. So that's my focus on my comments. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.